This week, the medical journal Lancet Psychiatry published what's claimed to be the largest and most comprehensive systematic review of randomized control trials about the efficacy and the safety of medicinal cannabis for the treatment of mental health conditions. And the results suggest there's a substantial gap between how medicinal cannabis is being used and the evidence on whether it actually works in mental health treatment. In fact, it finds no evidence that it's effective in treating anxiety, depression, or PTSD. The study comes from the University of Sydney's Matilda Centre for Research in Mental Health and Substance Use, and the lead author of the paper is postdoctoral research fellow Jack Wilson. And Jack joins us now for Sunday Extra. Welcome, Jack.
Thanks for having me, Julian.
Jack, if I look at the Therapeutic Goods Administration's guidance for the use of medicinal cannabis in Australia, it focuses very much on its use for pain management. But your study's about the use for a range of mental health conditions. How prevalent is the prescription of medicinal cannabis for mental health conditions?
Yeah, that's a great point. Chronic pain is the leading reason for why it's prescribed. But we now know that over 1 million applications have been approved in Australia for the use of these medicines. And while correct numbers are difficult to capture, we know that 6 of the top 10 leading reasons for which they're prescribed are mental health disorders. In fact, number 1 is chronic pain, 2 is anxiety disorders.
Right, okay. So it's the second leading reason for prescription. But you've looked into what evidence is out there for how effective that might be. And what you did is a systematic review and meta-analysis. Could you just explain for us what you actually did in the study?
So we wanted to look at all randomized control trials. And the reason we focus on randomized control trials is they are our gold standard form of study or evidence for dictating whether a medicine is effective or not. So we wanted to look at all randomized control trials where cannabis was used as a treatment for any mental health or substance use disorder. And when we did the search, we found what studies were relevant, and then we combined the data where possible. That allows us to produce single results that can then be generalizable for these conditions.
And what did you find in terms of the quality of evidence that is out there? Were you overwhelmed with how many randomized controlled trials there were with evidence in this field?
I think we were surprised at how little evidence there was. There was only 54 randomized controlled trials from 1980 to 2025. When you look at the state of cannabis prescribing today, cannabis is now prescribed for over 250 medical conditions. So you would think there is a lot of evidence there, but there was only 54 randomized controlled trials.
So you mentioned that there's a whole range of conditions that cannabis is prescribed for, but anxiety, for example, seems to be a prevalent one. So what did you find about the quality of evidence for the efficacy of medicinal cannabis as a treatment for anxiety?
So for anxiety disorders, we found a total of 6 randomized controlled trials. And for anxiety symptoms, we found that medicinal cannabis produced no better effects on anxiety symptoms than placebo.
Right. So it's not really making any difference.
It was not making any difference.
We're speaking with Jack Wilson on Sunday Extra. Jack's from the Matilda Centre for Research in Mental Health and Substance Use, and I've just published a study in Lancet Psychiatry about medicinal cannabis. All right, so an absence of evidence in terms of treatment for anxiety. If we break down the classes of mental health conditions a bit more, what did you find? Are some performing better than others?
We found some evidence of efficacy for symptoms of cannabis use disorder, tic Tourette syndrome, insomnia, and autism. However, these findings should be treated with caution as only few studies contributed evidence to these conditions, and the quality of evidence was often poor.
All right. Well, so there's a list where there's some evidence. The first one there, cannabis as an effective treatment for cannabis use disorder, that doesn't immediately sound like a logical treatment. What's going on there?
Yeah, it might sound a bit odd, but in fact, that's probably the most convincing result in our review. There are many cases where a drug is used to treat someone with that same drug use disorder. An example that comes to mind is methadone, which is an opioid used to treat opioid use disorder. The cannabis medicines used in these studies were often sprays or oils. They weren't smoked high THC cannabis. So this is a way of sort of replacing the smoked high THC cannabis with a safer alternative.
In terms of the other areas where you did find some evidence, tic and Tourette's syndrome, autism spectrum disorder, the fact that there's some evidence doesn't equate to this being a primary or recommended treatment for these conditions, does it?
No, I don't think it does. These are definitely avenues that we need to pursue further. We need to conduct more trials in this space, especially for those conditions that really have limited effective alternative treatments, such as cannabis use disorder or insomnia. But the absence of evidence here doesn't mean that we should jump the gun and, you know, prescribe these medicines across Australia like what's happening today.
Yeah, so it seems like this analysis is informing a concern about what's actually happening in commercial practice compared to the evidence base. We've been focused on this idea of whether it's an effective treatment, Jack. A lack of evidence for effective treatment is one thing and a concerning thing. What did you find in terms of the risk that medicinal cannabis could actually be making things worse?
Yeah, Julian, when we look at a medicine, we want it to be safe. That's just as important as being effective. And when we looked at adverse events, we found that the number needed to treat to harm was 7. Now, what that means is that for every 7 people treated with medicinal cannabis, 1 person would experience an adverse event relative to the placebo condition.
Right. Well, 1 in 7, when you think about the scale of prescription that's occurring, that does seem concerning.
It is concerning. When we look at the types of adverse events that these people are experiencing, they are mild, however. A lot of the time they're, you know, nausea, maybe headaches. And so we looked at serious adverse events and we found that there was actually no difference in whether someone experienced a serious adverse event because of the cannabis or someone experienced a serious adverse event because of the placebo. Now, this might sound like cannabis is only associated with mild adverse events, but what we don't know here are the long-term adverse events or the long-term harms of medical cannabis. Now, we know that the long-term chronic use of high THC cannabis is associated with a greater risk of cannabis use disorder and a greater risk of making our mental health symptoms worse, especially if you're predisposed to a psychotic condition or other mental health conditions. So those long-term harms may not have been captured in these short-term randomized control trials. So there is a concern that the harm that is occurring in the outside world as a result of medical cannabis in Australia isn't actually reflected in the safety data in this review. And there have been studies around the world that have looked at the likelihood of someone having a cannabis use disorder when they are using medical cannabis. And they found that it's around 1 in 4 people that were using medical cannabis experienced a cannabis use disorder. Now, 1 in 4 is very similar to the rate at which people experience a cannabis use disorder as a result of non-medical cannabis use.
What, in your view, are the implications of this study that you've undertaken for the regulation of medicinal cannabis in Australia?
Well, I think firstly, we need to definitely do more research, particularly for those conditions that, you know, there are limited effective alternative treatments. But as for regulation, the TGA, the body that make decisions on our medicines, currently they're doing a review of medical cannabis prescribing in Australia. So let's hope that they're listening and they read these findings and they take them on board in potentially making future changes to regulation that ensures that Australians are getting the right medicine for their conditions.
Do you have a sense that there is perhaps a mismatch between public perceptions about the risks associated with medicinal cannabis use and what you're finding about the evidence in terms of both effectiveness and also adverse effects?
Yeah, absolutely. We're not saying here that cannabis is an extremely harmful substance. We just want people to know the accurate information. And I think that a lot of the cannabis industry that is, you know, worth billions of dollars, they promote cannabis as this panacea or silver bullet, this substance, this medicine that can, you know, cure all. And while some people may experience benefits of medical cannabis, it's important to note that they are financially incentivized to promote this as a medicine for all conditions. They are big pharma, and we need to make sure that they are taken out of the room and, you know, they don't have as much of a decision on the types of medicines that we're receiving.
Yeah, so does the Matilda Center have concerns about the way cannabis is being prescribed in Australia?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, the way that cannabis is being prescribed now is not how medicine should operate. Money is getting in the way here, and despite people's best interests and despite evidence, cannabis is being prescribed at an extremely high rate for a long list of conditions for which there is very little to no evidence for. And we need to be concerned, because not only could this result in long-term harms, but it could also delay the use of more effective treatments.
Jack Wilson, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you.
And Jack is the postdoctoral research fellow at the Matilda Centre for Research in Mental Health and Substance Use at the University of Sydney, and also lead author of this new paper in Lancet Psychiatry, indicating that there's no evidence to suggest that medicinal cannabis is effective for depression, anxiety, or PTSD.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.